If you wanna look good and not be bummy, yo, you better give me that money.
This is the Arsenal with fellow Gooner Joaquin coming to you with the second Arsenal podcast.
Hey there, it's good to be here. We're ready to go over and, you know, keep things Gooners.
All right, on this episode, we're going to go over Euro 2008, our thoughts on some of the best matches, the team of the tournament, and talk about the Arsenal players, what they did in the tournament. We're going to talk about some transfer speculation with Adebayor, Haleb, Amari Bischoff, Samir Nasri, and Marco Senna, and more. And we'll also talk about next year for Arsenal, including whether or not there will be a new captain, or if Dallas will remain captain, and we can go over what we think will be the starting 11 going into next year if we keep the current team. So, quick introduction, since we didn't get to this last podcast. I've been supporting Arsenal since 2001. My favorite players since I've been a fan: Tony Adams, Lauren, Pires, Henri, Polo Torre, and Bakary Sagna.
Those are quite solid choices. I also, this is Joaquin here, you know, reporting from Los Angeles. I've been a fan since probably about 98, 99. Started watching, you know, as I was playing, coming up, and was actually able to watch an Arsenal Man U game, and that really, you know, sparked my interest. Coming up for me, the biggest, the most influential players were really, it was watching Henri, watching Bergkamp, Pires and Munenberg, and just the way watching the Arsenal way, the way they played the ball, and that was really the key thing for me. And for me, I really feel, you know, ever since then, of watching guys like Fabregas and Torre come up and show what they've been over the past couple of years, have become my favorite players over this time.
Yeah, definitely. Fabregas is definitely my favorite player now. What can you say about him? He's a legend already. I mean,
already.
It's just amazing what he can do on the ball. Go.
All right, so we're going to start off with our Euro 2008 recap. I think we're going to start off maybe looking over the team of the tournament and seeing what we think and what we agree with and what we feel could be made different. What do you think? What do you think in terms of the overall selections?
Most of them I can agree with, obviously, with the keepers. Buffon and Casillas were brilliant. Buffon especially. I mean, that penalty save against Romania. I mean,
It was quite legit. I mean, there's no doubting his quality.
Yeah.
You know?
Some people said he had fallen off, but for me, he's the best keeper in the world.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, when have you seen, like, if you say he's fallen off, I mean, where's your justification? Like, what have you seen?
I think the only reason people said that is because when Juve were relegated for the match-fixing thing, but I don't watch a lot of Italian football, honestly, but
right.
But every time I see him play, he's spectacular.
Right. I mean, but the thing is, who are we to really judge him based on the fact he stayed with the team when they got relegated? I mean, I think that shows a little bit of quality in him being the best goalkeeper in the world and staying loyal to his club. I mean, that can say a lot about those players, you know.
Yeah.
He Ned Van and Del Piero, so, you know. I actually give him a lot of credit for doing so.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd say, you know, I've been a big Casillas fan for a while. And here's a tough thing for me, because actually in the Spanish league, I support Barcelona, not Madrid. But there's so many players on Madrid that I like that it's kind of tough. And it's also becoming tougher to support Barcelona after all the issues with Arsenal. So that's making it a little bit tougher. But the thing is, Casillas, you know, how old is Casillas? 26?
He's 25, 26, I think.
25, 26, you know. And he's been how long has he been the number one for Spain?
Forever, you know? As long as I can remember.
Right. It's like, I have no idea who's the keeper for them before that. I really don't. Because since he was probably like 18 to 20, I mean, someone can correct us on this, he's been their number one.
Right.
You know?
I love Casillas. He's a great keeper.
And if I were to be starting a team right now, I would take him just because of the fact he's 9 or 10 years younger than Buffon. But he's just the man. He's rock solid. And actually, I mean, you say you don't watch too much of La Liga, but not this season since.
Well, I watch more La Liga than I do Serie A.
Okay, right. But the thing is that I'm not talking about this season since they kind of ran away with it with you know, games to spare.
Yeah, that was a mess.
But when they barely won it, they basically Madrid can thank Casillas for that La Liga title the year before, because if you saw some of those games, he made so many ridiculous saves to keep them, to save one goal leads or save, you know, like kept them in so many games that he had to have been their best player of the year, undoubtedly. So.
Yeah, Van der Sar, he was good. Not great for me. I mean, I know I hate him because he's a United player, but even still, I mean, what about the keeper from Turkey? He really kept them alive. I mean,
yeah, but he didn't play every game. He got red carded, you know, and so
yeah, he's
so
more out, no doubt.
Yeah, but you know, but the other guy who came in, that old guy was the, you know, 200 caps, whoever it was.
Yeah,
I forget his name. Russo came in, you know. So the thing is, he wasn't there every game, so we can't. I think that's a fair omission.
Yeah.
I mean, Van der Sar played really well up until that last game. I mean, I feel mildly bad for him that he got hit our shot and put it through his legs for the, you know, his last appearance of the Euros.
Oh, I laughed.
But, you know, yeah, actually, I
I didn't feel bad at all.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm pretty satisfied with the decisions for the goalkeepers.
Yeah, defenders: Lam, Marcena, Basingua, Pepe, Zirkov, and Puyol. I don't really have a problem with Lam or Marcena or Puyol. Pepe, I don't know. Portugal, I disagree with Portugal getting in there, with many of their players getting in there, especially two defenders.
Right. Well, we both have our problems with the Bozingua decision, but Pepe, I mean, he scored two goals or just one?
I think he only scored one, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure.
I don't know exactly, but it was at least one, maybe two. He had that one that got taken back.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, I mean, he played like the man during that time, and so
he was great in the time the Portugal were in the tournament, but if you're making a team of the tournament, I just feel like you should put players that lasted longer in the tournament.
Right. Well, let's talk about who we would have in their stead.
All right. Well,
because really, I mean, if we can name more than one that deserved it more, you know, Zirkov, I mean, I remember him, but you know, I don't argue with, you know, their semifinal.
Yeah, I mean, Russia as a team played great. I'm not going to argue with that. Basingua is the one I have a problem with most. Obviously, I talked to you about it. I think Sergio Ramos should have gotten that spot.
Right.
He was fantastic in the knockout stages. Fantastic. And
the whole Spanish defense, in particular in the knockout stages, so they didn't concede a goal.
Yeah, but
right?
Even in the group stages, they only gave up three. And one was one was that BS goal to Russia when it didn't matter, when they were up 4-0.
Right, you're already up 4-0, so it's not that big of a deal. No, I agree. And like we said before, I mean, I think Sergio Ramos is of the utmost caliber, you know, and is probably, I would put him in the top four or five defenders in the world, at least up and coming, of young, top four or five.
He's only 22.
Young. He's only 22. And you look at the quality that he's at this moment, and I couldn't think of a better guy to, you know, put in there. And then we'll get to this later. But I mean, imagine if we had him and Torres as our central defenders.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's so many. Yeah. There's. We'll get to that later.
Unless he can play all over the pitch. I mean, if we get another injury to Sanya, put him in at right back.
Yeah. Put him at right back. You put him at the people fucking holding midfield.
Yep.
He could play right mid instead of the booty. But that's a different subject. We're gonna get there later. I agree. The one thing that I said, like I told you earlier, the thing with Ramos is that no one doubts his class and quality, but that he had a couple subpar games by his standards in the beginning of the tournament, so I understand why he would leave him out. But the other very visible omission that we don't see here is someone who I thought was a little off the pace coming into the tournament. I'm like, how are you going to bring in Gio Van Bronckhorst, a former Arsenal player, you know, who has spent 8 years at Barcelona, but now he's at Ajax now, right? If I'm not mistaken. I think he went back to Ajax. That's where he's been the last season. I'm pretty sure.
He was
go ahead.
Fantastic as well. I mean, with just that one game when he made the Jewish
Oh, those two goals were two of the best goals of the entire tournament in the sense of the way
he's playing for Feyenoord right now.
Oh, Feyenoord. Okay, that's right. Well, I know he had gone back to the Dutch league, but the way he created that, he started, you know, that first goal. He started from clearing it off the line and making that, you know, an 80-yard run downfield.
I mean, he ran the entire pitch and was there on both ends of the play.
Yeah, and like I said, he could have been pants every other game, but just for those two things that he contributed to the tournament, he should be included, without a doubt. Yeah. So that would definitely be if I had to pick one person to include in this group, I would pull the same one and definitely put in Ben Bronckhorst with Ramos the closest.
I agree with that.
All right, let's move on to midfielders now. What do you think? I see Hamid Altıntop from Turkey.
I really can't comment on that much. I mean, I watched Turkey. I couldn't tell you the name of the player.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, he played pretty well. From what I saw, he was pretty impressive. I mean, not like very ridiculously memorable, but you know, Turkey made it so far. They're going to get some players in the in the team, and he was one of their best. So.
Yeah, for me, the best midfielder in the whole tournament. Xavi obviously got the player of the tournament, but I think Marco Senna was the best midfielder in the whole tournament.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. And, you know, I really feel like it could have been Fabregas had he started every game,
because
he really was up there. But you'd have to say easily the Spanish midfield. Like, you can't argue with any of the Spanish inclusions. Because let's just round up the list. There's Luke, like you said, Hamid Altıntop from Turkey. Luka Modric, who I think is a pretty solid player. Unfortunately, went to the Scheidhart Lane, if I'm not mistaken, for this upcoming season.
Had a decent tournament and took a terrible penalty.
That he did. And we can definitely fault him for that. Marco Senna from Spain. Xavi Hernandez, also from Spain. Zirinov, right, from Russia.
I think.
Michael Ballack from Germany. Fabregas from Spain. Iniesta from Spain. Podolski from Germany. And Snyder from Holland. So what do you think about the rest? I personally completely agree with all the Spanish inclusions. I agree with,
I definitely agree with Ballack. He kept Germany in by himself. I mean, his free kick against Austria got him through, and then his headed goal in the knockout stage against Portugal got them through that game. He carried
it. I mean, he was
their definite leader and captain, and that's what a captain should be.
You know, I would liken him to, I mean, actually, I think he's better, but when you look at what Steven Gerrard does for Liverpool, I feel it's what he does for Germany. He carries them, you know. He's their heart and soul.
Exactly.
He's a heartbeat, you know, without a doubt. And he really is, and he's the man, straight up. I mean, that's actually, I mean, I was mistaken in it, but one thing I was correct about was that Ballack would make his penalty kick in the Champions League final. You know, I had no doubt in my mind. After that one he scored in that the game against Man U. In the EPL end of the season, I mean, I was just like, this guy is the man. He's ice cold.
Yeah, he is.
The way he blasted those penalties, he is the man, straight up. He was the main reason I was scared going into that final, because I was supporting Spain throughout the tournament, and it worked out pretty well, obviously. But he was the guy I was worried about the entire time. The rest of the picks, right? So we've already gone over Modric, Altıntop, and all the Spanish guys. Zarinov from Russia was pretty solid, so it's, I don't think that's a bad decision.
Podolski for me, he scored those goals early on, but it seemed like he kind of faded away a little bit as the tournament wore.
For me, it's a toss-up, because I agree that Germany should get another midfielder in there, and Schweinsteiger really came on.
Oh, yeah, he did. He was great.
And so I think if he had done a little more of that earlier, he probably would have been included.
He dropped for the first game and got a red card in the second game. So that's probably why he didn't get included.
That was such a bad red card. And then let's go to the last one, because there's, you know, I actually felt very strong about the way this guy played, because Wesley Sneijder of the Dutch team, the Paul.
Sneijder probably scored the goal of the tournament, maybe, for me.
He scored two of the goals of the tournament. I mean, well, two of the sickest goals. I mean, he had that
one where Kout headed it over, and
Kout headed it back, and then he beat him near post on that one time.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was well, and the thing is, that was such a complete goal. That was
the one where Gio ran the whole field. Yeah.
But then even that last goal in that one group stage game where he teed it up from outside the box, hit that, you know, that in swinger over that dipped under the bar.
Yeah.
Those goals are just so dirty. It was
Schneider definitely deserved to be in there for me. He was great.
No, without a doubt. Even in that last game when they did lose to Russia, he was the one guy who didn't have a bad game. He was the one guy who was still all over the place and doing everything. And he was like, what was it? He had like a broken wrist. He had that soft cast on his wrist. You know, like he was the man. For me, at that point, up until that point, he was my player of the tournament at that moment. I mean, obviously not anymore because they got eliminated, but up until then, I thought he was hands down the best player.
Yeah. Let's move on to the forwards. We got Archevin of Russia, Pavlyuchenko of Russia, and then we have the partnership of Torres and Villa. And I don't disagree with either of the Russians, but or Villa for that matter. I have somewhat of a problem with Torres. Bear with me. I know he scored a great goal in the final, but
I know. But
he didn't do that much else. I mean, he had a good assist for Villa in the match against Russia, but
yeah.
I mean, Liverpool fans are going to disagree, but
yeah, I'm sure they will. Well, here's the thing. I was torn up when he went to Liverpool because, you know, for the 2 years prior, there had been some, you know, about as much, you know, speculation on him coming to Arsenal, and I was like, you know, £20 million bid for El Nino, Fernando Torres, and I was just, you know, watching Atletico, and I'm seeing the way he plays, and I'm like, he's not excelling here, but he's made for the Premier League, so I was really bummed when he went there. I would agree he didn't have the greatest of tournaments. He could have played better. He played out of his mind in the final, and he scored the winning goal. That's what's going to get him into that team. You know, he scored the winning goal in the final, and you play as well as he did in that game. That really made up for a lot of his deficiencies in the other games. I thought he did a really good first game of the tournament, and like he could have scored that first goal himself, and he gave it to Villa for the captain.
Well, that was the right move to make in that situation.
It was.
So you got to give him credit for that pass, because some players wouldn't have even recognized that Villa was coming.
Yeah, some greedy guys, I'm not going to name any names of tall toggle these forwards that made that move, but
Well, Adebayor wouldn't have had a strike partner. His strike partner on the medical tape.
All right. Well, okay. All right. Right. Exactly. That's, you know, slight problem there. But yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, are there any other strikers you would think that you would include otherwise? I mean, if not Torres, then who? Who else? I mean, would you include a Dutch forward? Would you do?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with Van Nistelrooy. I thought he was decent. I mean, I think he was about
hey,
as
you know,
good as
you know, here's the thing. That one other amazing goal that the Dutch scored, the one where he was going out right about at the midfield line, and he did that little helicopter to the pass. You know what I'm talking about? Where he dragged it back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And did that helicopter, that rotation, and then passed it at the same time as it was – who was making that one? It was Arjen Robben, right?
Believe
Robin was the guy streaking, and then he came with Gio.
I don't know.
I think it was Robin. And he burst down the line and made the cross to Van Persie, and then Persie got that goal where he came back to the near post, and they had the far post wide open and went underneath the keeper.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That was all thanks to Van Nistelrooy. That was the best part. And as of course as we were talking about earlier, Andy Gray brought it up right afterwards, and he really commented on the fact that he's the one who created the goal. It was that bit of brilliance that really let it all happen.
Not even usually his forte. He's more of an out-and-out scorer.
No, that's not what, you know, he's a poacher. He's the fox in the box, right? I mean, as we've seen over the years, he doesn't score too much outside, or do too much outside of the box, but he's clinical inside. So, yeah, I would say that'd be a decent replacement if you were to switch one out.
Yeah. All right. What do you think the best matches were of the tournament?
Let's see. Well, the final was all right, but I wouldn't really put it as one of the best matches. What I feel what you'd have to say for a few, even though they weren't my favorite teams going into it and most exciting for me to watch, I had a great time watching the Dutch play just because it was so fun and a few of the Spain games. But the best games, I mean, the Turkey comeback
was incredible.
You have to say two of those Turkey games.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Really?
They had two comebacks. They scored, two goals in 2 minutes and – I forget which game that was.
Yeah, no, wholeheartedly. And, you know, it was against the Czech Republic.
Yeah, yeah, that was it.
The last group stage game at the Czech Republic. Yeah, yeah, I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe Peter Cech's little howler there, the cross he dropped. That really
Czech Republic,
I'm
probably
sure he blamed.
They were my disappointment of the tournament, them and Portugal.
Yeah, no, I agree. So that game, and then what was Croatia, the next game?
Yeah, that was the one that finished in the shootout, right? Yeah.
Right, exactly. Those two goals, I could not believe that. I felt really bad because the Croatia, I really had developed an admiration for Slaven Bilic, right? It's the coach. He seemed
yeah,
like
he did
the man,
a great job.
You know, like we were saying. Yeah, you know, and it's like, look at who he has. And so, I mean, he has talent, but he's got a bunch of
knowledge,
really. And, I mean, and we'll talk later how much, you know, Eduardo was missed. But, I mean, think if they had him in there to you know, put away some of those chances
definitely,
they got. Cause
definitely would have been a factor.
You know, seeing his quality that he exuded even just in those few games at Arsenal last season, you saw how clinical he was. You know, give him those four chances, he's burying two at least, if not all four. So, who knows? But that's all, you know. Should have, could have, would have, but whatever.
So, about the Arsenal players in the tournament. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and name them off. We had Galas, Fabregas.
Right.
We had Cinderos and Dejiru. We had Nasri, if you count him. And Robin Van Persie. I think that was all the Arsenal involvement. Dejiru didn't get to play. Cinderos played in the group stages, but the Swiss didn't really do anything.
No, they didn't. He didn't look bad. He played actually. I feel he played rather well. He actually played fairly well. I mean, I watched all their games. I guess not that exciting.
Personally, I didn't think he was great in the first match, and I thought he was decent in the other two. I thought he was a capable starting center back, but nothing spectacular.
But here's the thing. When you look at Sandros, he's very capable. He's worthwhile, but is he good enough for us? Well, that's a question.
Right. Does he fit our style? We could save that whole debate.
But I mean, you could see him. But here's the thing. You could see him at like one of the small clubs, but a mid-level club. You know, he could be the center back for Newcastle. He could play for West Ham.
I could be a center back for Newcastle. I mean,
right. Well, as the defense is, right? Exactly. I could do it. I'd be playing out of position, and I would be better than, oh, God. I don't even want, let's not even get into naming who the center backs were and how terrible they were, because it's a joke.
Cesc and Van Persie were the best two Arsenal players in the tournament.
Easily.
For me.
Well, let's before we get to those guys, let's get to the two French. So we have Dallas, who, you know, it's not his fault. I mean, he's also Thuram's 35.
I don't understand how he makes the squad, much less makes the starting 11.
Well, look, that's Dominic, you know. He's the coach. He's sticking with the old guard. I mean, like we've said before, we should have had at least two more Arsenal players, you know, and at Flamini's exclusion. Laughing at Flamini's exclusion, which is pretty money in itself. But yeah, then of course, you know, there should be Clichy and Sagna without
a
doubt.
This is a little off topic, but it's still French. How do you feel about the job Claude Makélélé did? Because I think if they had had Vieira, he would have been able to do the job a little better. And that's not even my Arsenal bias.
No, I agree. Well, no one's going to argue with the fact that Vieira is top class, and, you know, when he's fit, and it's been a while since he's really been fit. But I actually thought, surprisingly, I saw a couple interior games at the end of the season, when he'd come back and had kind of regained some form, he was looking pretty good again, which had been a while since I've seen. Of course, McAlay would have done better had it not been too long, you know, like that guy was,
I don't watch him at Lyon. But,
right, exactly. But he didn't do anything impressive.
He didn't stand out, certainly.
He wasn't memorable.
The whole
French
system.
I'm surprised they remember
the French system really bothered me with. I mean, if you're going to have.
Yeah.
They had two defensive midfielders, and then they had the two wings. And they didn't really have an attacking midfield player.
Well, you know what they need? They need a face. Not even a facelift.
They need a whole makeover of their entire system. And I think with Dominic sacked, that comes in.
you bring in a new coach who's going to do something for them that's going to, you know, change the way
more young players. You need a Ben Arfa. You need your Nasri, your Benzema, your Clichy, Sanya. Yeah,
exactly. No, exactly. And the thing is, they have the youth.
Oh, undoubtedly. France has a spectacular setup coming up.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, and keep a couple of guys in there, you know. If you want to keep Gallus in your central defensive partnership for now,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's good to have his experience, but Turam, no, please, no.
Well, look, they've officially retired again for, you know, whatever the 15th time it is.
Makalele.
But it's more than that time, you know. They've outstayed their welcome by a little bit. But, you know, bring in a new coach, have the face. If you can bring in, all right, so Anelka should never, ever play for France again. He's just
Henry made
worthless.
Henry passed it, honestly.
You know? Yeah, Henry made it. You know what? If Henry has it. Yeah, it was. But if Henry has a decent season this upcoming year, I expect to see him at South Africa 2020.
It wouldn't surprise me just because of what he's done for the French team.
No, he'll be there. He'll be there. I'd bet the farm on it. He's going to be there. But you're going to need him starting with Benzema, you know, and having someone else young.
Put Nasri on one wing and Ben Arfa on the other, and you put Benzema up top with, say, Henry. How good is that?
But, you know, I don't want to see Bovu. I don't want to see Cisse.
Cisse is not even good enough to make it at Liverpool. Why would you even? I don't even understand.
Right. Whatever, but you know, we want to see Nasri, we want to see Ben Arfa, we want to see all these young players.
Clichy and Sanya going up the sides, helping out in attack, because Abidal and Samuel, no. Evra's decent attack, but Abidal doesn't do it for me.
I can't really argue. Well, Abidal, I don't know. But, I mean, he's good enough, but he didn't play as well. I mean, you know he has the quality, because we've all seen it, but I can't, I mean, it's that's the deepest position they have. They have three world-class left-backs, you know. So it's tough for Clichy to get in, but he should be in the squad, you know, without a doubt. But
why don't you,
for the rest of them, I mean, the rest of their midfield and the defense, I mean, they need fresh faces. They need to start playing with them now, you know. Get rid of all the old guys and get on it. Well, enough about the French team.
Cesc and Van Persie.
Where were we? Cesc and Van Persie. So let's start with Van Persie since he was eliminated first. I thought, we spoke about this, I thought he played great. You know, from the time he got, he had lost the ring rest that he had in the last few games he played for Arsenal this season. And he really impressed that.
He took his goal well. Did
he have, two or one?
Did he have two? I remember the one. Maybe he did have two. Maybe I lost my mind.
I kind of felt like he had two. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. He scored a lot of goals.
Yeah, and I really thought he moved well, and that was key. He was making runs to get to the ball, and I think when he had an injury, that when he came back from that, it was one of his problems. He wasn't making his usual runs. Not to mention when he did get the ball, he wasn't making good contact with it. He was just out of it, and I think he really returned to form here.
Well, one thing if you noticed when I was watching him, the first game he came back, and then even afterwards when they said he might have aggravated his thigh strain, do you see how heavily taped his thighs were? I mean, like, he was taped up tight from, you know, 2 inches above the knee all the way up, and that's got to have some kind of effect on you, and it's got to have some kind of psychological impact, so... I mean, if he was healthy for 2/3 of the season next year, I'd be happy.
He played like 13 matches. I think.
If he gives us 30 appearances this next year, I'll be happy. I'll be like, all right,
yeah, definitely.
That's enough. I mean, obviously we want more than that. We want him to make 40 to 50, but 30-35 I will consider quite a success.
And Cesc was amazing. He was Cesc.
Man. The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah. Aragonés decides to stick with Xavi in the middle with Senna, and he went with two up top with Villa and Torres. So Cesc, the only game he got to start was the final. But...
Well, no. He started
the last
match. Also.
But most of the time, he did come on as a sub, and whenever he came on, he seemed to make an impact.
He played every game. He was in there every game, so we can't, you know... he made his presence known in every game that he came in because he dictated, he pulled strength.
Got his first goal for Spain.
That he did. It was a very good goal. He had a few assists. And
but it was headed. That was impressive.
Not the head. That's besides the point, right? But not only did he have a few assists, he also had a few other great balls that turned into near goals. He could have had – how many assists did he have on the turn? Do you know that?
I don't have it off the top of my head. But I know he got two in one match.
I think he had one goal. Yeah, I think he had one goal and three assists. I guess people will quote me on it, whatever. But I think that's what his stat line was, and it could have easily been one, maybe even two goals and – 5-6 assists, because he set up a few balls.
There had been some questions whether or not he could play in the Spanish system, but I think he answered them all.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you watched it. You and I both being American Gooners, did you watch the Spain versus USA game?
Yes, I did. I watched it.
Was it 2 months ago? Yeah. He played relatively well, but, in the few of those friendlies leading up to the tournament, he looked a little bit off the pace in terms of, like, he looked good.
What, 1-0, right?
They didn't look that good. No, and the thing is, the whole team didn't look that good, and it's they're still kind of working.
And I think they were playing a lot of friends players to see how they played in the side too. So
yeah, they were. But it also seemed like at that point when I was watching, it seemed like it was a little too constricted, too many small passes rather than letting him open up and actually play. But they made it work, and dude, all those little triangles. I mean, that's what. Like you said, you coach the youth level, and you see the way they move the ball and the way they do that one-touch passing. You show your kids this is what you do, and this is how you do it, and this is how it's, executed, correctly. And, a lot of what I've been reading is talking about how it's been good for football, the fact that Spain won, that they showed how to do it.
The ironic thing is if Arsenal win the title, they would not say the same thing, even though we play exactly like them.
No, actually, yeah, yes and no. I feel like there would be those people out there saying the same thing. I read something comparing it to Arsenal because, of course, Fabregas being there, one of the orchestrators, is saying that this is, somewhat the equivalent of Arsenal can learn from the way Spain did this because they play in a similar fashion in the sense of it's open attacking, and it really is a beautiful way to play.
That's why we love it.
I think it's on a similar level. So I really feel, Cesc had a great tournament. He was in the team tournament, deservedly so. Even though he came out as a sub, he really made such an impact and gave so much that I think it was fully, he's fully worthy of that honor. So hopefully that's going to lead him. I mean, what more can you say about him? He just turned 21 like a week or two ago, and he's already achieved so much. And he's got so much ahead of him.
A fantastic player. He signed a long-term deal with Arsenal. If he sees that out, I'll be the happiest man alive.
Until 2014, I think, is
so much more to look forward to from him.
That pretty much sums up what we have to talk about.
Yeah, it was a great tournament.
Basically, all in all, it was a great tournament. We in the States were lucky enough to be able to have Eddie Gray actually do color commentary on a lot of the games. And for those of you that aren't from the States, it's a luxury we're not too akin to. I mean, we get American broadcasters that are making baseball and American football analogies, and it kills that. It's terrible. So to have someone of that top class there was
Eddie Gray
amazing
made the
for
game
us.
10 times better than it normally is to watch. He was that good.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I was the whole time. I was praying that it wasn't that shite Tommy Smith doing color commentary with Derek.
They're great.
I've got a problem with Derek Ray. I think he does a great job, but Tommy Smith is worthless. He needs to be fired. The quickness. I mean, I lose it sometimes listening to what he has to say. I feel like his insight is terrible at best. So many times he says things that I completely disagree with, and I'm just like,
and
you don't know what you're talking
about. He always
seems
biased as well to one team or the other. No matter who's playing,
he really is. And then, talking about, all right, well, sorry, actually, bringing up a sore subject for me, the way he was talking about the Celtics the entire time was killing me. But we don't need to get about
team one.
Not my way. Because you're from Jackson,
fan.
So I don't know what's your. Okay, all right. As long as you're through, I don't want to see a front runner like KG came this year, and so this is gonna be it. All right, well,
I watched it in 2001 when we got destroyed in the finals by the Nets, and I hate the Nets. But
and what did they do to the Lakers after that? Got swept or something?
It was bad.
I don't know. Some.
But yeah.
Well, anyway.
Moving on to Arsenal.
All in all, it was a great tournament, and I think it was one of the best tournaments. It's actually quite possibly the best tournament I've watched in recent years, and I'm really stoked on it. And it was a great time and a great experience. And my team won, so that makes it all the better. So
we're going to move on to Arsenal, and obviously the main six is Emmanuel Adebayor. So
right.
What are your thoughts on everything that's happened with him in the past week or so?
Well, I'd be lying if I said I was surprised. You and I had been, talking about, what we felt his intentions were. I mean, you were a fan of his for a while. I liked his style of play. I like how he came along this past year. But I told you, that sense of arrogance that kind of he exuded was always a fear for me. And I was like, you know what? I think we came to the conclusion at one point that, you know what, if they offer, I mean, suppose we turn down, a $24 million bid from Barcelona for him?
I think so.
You know, if we get 30, you sell him. Don't get rid of him. Let him go there and, waste away. Because with $30 million, we can buy, the way we do it, we can buy five players.
Five players that we've never heard of.
Right, five players plus three 12-year-olds, or maybe a couple fetuses.
Yeah, theoretically, that would give you enough money to buy whoever you want. You can get Villa, you can get...
Really, it really was. I mean, who are we after that's going to cost any more? Robinho? And, we'll get onto that in a bit. But the Adebayor saga, what he's done has really been pretty shiesty. And then, his agent's coming out today saying how he's not a greedy person, this and that. But, he wants to get paid on the same level as Henri. Like, what have you done
that's my main problem. Okay, I rarely have problems with players asking for more money. But don't say you're on the same level as Thierry Henry. I mean, on my blog this week, I compared their stats, and let me pull them up real quick.
I saw that. It was, 42 goals
and not even close.
Six assists or something, and compared to 230. Well, yeah, dude, it's not even. It's a joke. It's a joke, through and through. I can't even.
Yeah, Thierry Henry, 230 goals and 82 assists. Emmanuel Adebayor, 46 goals, 14 assists. You can't ask for the same money. I'm sorry, Thierry Henry only got that money in his last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's just absurd, and he is worthless. And I say, I would take the $24 million. I like how they're playing hardball, so maybe they'll get 27. But I say screw it, just take it, because I want to get rid of him, and I want it done now.
Yeah, like I wrote today, I think
he's a team cancer. Yeah. And the thing is, that kind of shit is only going to hurt the team, And maybe Klopp's going to stay. I have less of a problem with Klopp staying now than I do with Adebayor, because we cannot have
him. Yeah, that's what I wrote on the blog today, I think it's awkward for him to come back into the locker room now, because players like Toure and Gilberto that have been there a long time, they don't complain about money, they don't ask to leave. How are they going to feel about a guy who's been here for two seasons and now he wants way more
class?
Money? And
yeah, I agree. I just don't, there's a way to go about things professionally, to do things the right way, and I think you can really, it says a lot about the person, as on a personal level. I was on a slightly different note. I wasn't happy that we sold Diarra, but just because I thought he had top quality talent. But considering the way he behaved and hearing what he said, I was like, you might as well get rid of him because you don't need that kind of presence in the locker room. Because
I think
he's going to be such. Yeah, exactly. If he's going to be that big of a bitch and that big of a cunt in the locker room and complaining about this and that, you don't want him. We don't need players like that. And I'm sure Wenger knows that's – I mean, he's a smart guy. Like I said, I'm not an AKB. I don't think that, what he says is, Godspeak. But he knows what he's doing, and he knows that you can't have players like that. I say fuck it. Let him sit in the reserves. Let him rot away. Bench him. Do whatever. I don't care. I'd love to see it. Let him cry and yell and whatever. But actually, I'd rather to see us take the money and run. let him blow out his knee in his first game for Barcelona or Madrid or Milan, you know? Like, you know, the Arsenal curse, there's nothing I'd like to see more than to see letting him go, us make 40 million quid on him, and have at least one of them have a season-ending injury. Nothing would make me happier.
Nothing would make me happier.
I'd throw a party.
If John Terry was hit by a bus, I would be happier.
Oh, but how good was it watching him miss the penalty? That had to be the highlight of his campaign. Not only that, Ronaldo misses and Terry falls on his fat ass.
And the other kicks him in the face.
That too. Oh, that was good. That was.
I would have felt bad.
Was Diaby the kicker?
Yeah.
If he had died, yeah, that'd be mildly excessive.
He didn't, so I laughed.
Had he been paralyzed from the neck down, I thought it would have been about fair.
Yeah, definitely. He would have deserved
it. But death is a little excessive.
He would have deserved it.
Yeah.
But,
probably.
Moving on from that.
All right, so basically, Adebayor is the content.
Want him to go.
As soon as we sell him, we'll throw a party and, what we're going to do with the money. So, moving on. Next, well, I guess, what can we go with next? Let's move right on to the next want away. And basically, I don't think there's been much on the club front, right? I mean, there really hasn't been any action.
Anything new in over a week.
Nothing. Yeah, and so, I mean, who knows? Maybe he's going to stay put. Maybe they're actually going to find a deal. I mean, I guess apparently we're just holding out for too much money from Barcelona, which is, you know, okay.
It doesn't bother me. We paid 11.5 million quid for it. 11.5 is their
exactly.
And that's not a good deal for us.
No. And the thing is, considering he's only gotten better since then.
Much better
you know,
player than when he came.
We got to turn a profit on him, otherwise there's no way that we should sell him. So
I mean, if they offer 12 million, sure, take him.
Yeah, no, we should get 12 or 15, 14. I'll be happy with 14.
15 million for Nazari.
13, I'll be 13.
As good a player as Nazari, I think so. At this point, I mean, Nazari probably
has
more
potential. What has Nazari done? I mean, in all fairness, even though Nazari has a lot of talent, I mean, he hasn't proven himself yet. So
that's why I'm saying. His level.
Mm-hmm. Undoubtedly. So let's move on to our transfer targets. I'm going to start with one that you and I have both kind of agreed upon for a while. I read something today saying that he's committed himself to Valencia for the next couple of years, that Villa is probably not going to be moving anywhere, which, you know, I was kind of – here's what I have to say about him. I think he's top class. I'd love to bring him into the Arsenal. I know we have that style of player already. We already have Eduardo, but who knows how good he's going to be when he comes back and all that. I have faith that he's going to come back to be 100%. I don't know. I wasn't so sure about it before, but I really think he will. But here's the thing. Like I said, if you're adding world-class talent, it doesn't matter if you already have a guy in his mold. If you add a guy that's that good, it's only going to help the team.
My feelings on Villa, I think he's a great player as well. I think his price is too high. They say they want 30 million quid for him. Is he worth that?
We could have got him we could have had him for 18 prior to the
That's
term.
What I hear, but I'm not sure that was true.
Yeah, but exactly.
Because I know last year when we were supposedly interested, the figure was 30 million then. And then during and after the tournament now, it's supposed to be 30 million again.
Well, supposedly the reason why they said it had been lowered, you know, why those reports came out, was the fact that they were nearly relegated and they needed to kind of make some money, and they were
broke.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're broke, so they need to make some cash. But it looks like that's not going to happen, which, you know, it's all right, but we got to do something. But if it were to happen, I'd be stoked on it, but it doesn't seem very realistic anymore.
It never really looked like it happened. If you know Arsene Wenger and you know Arsenal, you could hope,
You could hope, right. He'd rather make 2 8 million quid purchases rather than 1 16, you know, or 20,
every time.
25.
A younger player,
exactly.
Always better than an older player to him.
Right. I mean, not that he's over it, but at 26, he really only likes to buy.
Yeah, he's not going to improve that much at
below
25. He's probably at his peak.
He's at his peak. This is true. So, moving on, you know, they were saying that he was there also watching David Silva.
And Arshavin. He was watching Arshavin, they said.
Watching Arshavin, watching David Silva, you know, maybe even watching Sergio Ramos.
Senna.
And Senna. and Senna.
Linked to him.
Starting with the first one, I would say that I think people are just talking when they talk about him and mentioned that David Silva. I thought he was a good player. I think he'll get beat up in the premiership. He is.
I can't see where he would fit in
Fabregas.
The squad either.
No. Well, you know, we need wingers.
If we really do. Let's think about it. If you put Walcott on the right, you put Nasri on the left, plus you have Fleb and Ruzicki. I mean that's a solid. Plus you have Vela that can play the wing.
Yeah, that's true. We don't need it. And the thing is that he's like I was watching the lineup. It was funny. I was rewatching the final and I was watching them do the lineup prior to the match. And they show the whole Spanish team and like I think it was Fabregas who made Iniesta looks small compared to Fabregas, and then next to him David Silva looks small compared to Iniesta, and it's just like, wow, how big is this guy? You know? 5'2", 130. I mean, how would he last in premiership? Well, I don't see that happening. And then moving on to the others. I mean, Sergio Ramos is more like it's a wish list. You know, it's on my yeah. I would put him as the number one. If there was one player right now that I could have, it would okay. Well, maybe not one. I'd probably say Leo Messi or something.
I'm going with semi.
But you know. Exactly. That now we're talking semi-realistic. I would say, I would stump up 20 million quid for Sergio Ramos.
Oh, definitely.
And it'd be worth it. He's 22. He could be the heart of your defense for 10 years. He's a man. But let's talk about in a much more realistic prospect. You know, which you spoke about today in the blog, and you know, Marco Senna. We've spoken about it a bit since then. You said you wouldn't really understand the move too much, but here's the thing. Here's my opinion on it, is that with him and Gilberto, they're both good enough to be in the team. Senna showed that he was probably the best player of the year in 2008. Obviously, he doesn't have much left in the tank in terms of more than 2-3 years max, right?
He's 31, and you can't see. I mean, Gilberto's only 32.
So. Right. So the thing is, they're both of enough class still to get the job done for at least 2 more years, especially between the two.
Right, I mean, Vieira and Magalhaes are both older, and they do the same job pretty well, too. I mean, there's no doubt.
Right, Magalhaes was still playing well with Chung this year.
It's just, would Wenger buy someone at that age?
Right, well, here's the thing. He's not likely to, but it depends on how much he has to pay for him. Have you heard anything?
I haven't heard a price at all, but...
Cost?
I wouldn't expect it to be a lot.
Maybe 6-8.
I would think in that range. Yeah. Because
if we could get that, I say do it. But an article I read earlier this morning was talking about that signing, and here's the reason why it makes sense. Rather than signing a Veloso or someone, because obviously it looks like Arsenal would like to have Yaya Touré, but it doesn't look like it's happening. I agree, and I'll be happy with that. I totally forgot to even put that on our list of who we're going to talk about. But it makes sense, though, in the sense that if you bring Senna in, look at all the guys that we have. We've got all the little teams, okay? We're not talking the guys that are – there's all the guys in the reserves that could potentially be ready to make the jump in 2 years. But even in the near future, I think Alex Song could do it. But they look like they're trying to have him play as a central defender. But I think as a holding midfielder, that guy's a beast. I mean, you look at his physical presence.
Diaby's big enough. He's in the Fiera mold, and he doesn't get a chance to play in the center. He always plays out on the wing, and I think if Diaby plays in the middle in the free season. If he does,
I think he will.
I think so, too, and I think he could be the guy.
You know what my one reservation with Diaby is? I have a better left foot than Diaby, straight up. It's a joke. Like, I'm right-footed, and he can't even make a pass left-footed. He will do a complete 360 using only his right foot.
That is
I'm two-footed enough, and like, you know, I was able to play college ball, but that, you know, it shouldn't be even close to that level. The fact that he can't even make a simple pass with his left foot, and that just infuriates me because how can you be so one-footed playing at a team like Arsenal? But literally, if you go back and watch, you know, even look up maybe some Diaby highlights on YouTube. You're gonna see everything he does. He'll make maybe one touch out of 20 with his left foot. But that's just my personal little qualm with him. But I agree that he could be the guy.
I didn't notice that. But if that is if that's the case, then that is a problem. It's something that I'm sure Arson has him.
It really is.
Sure, Arson has it working. Has him working on it.
Maybe.
I mean, he plays on the left wing for us, so he's bound to use it sometimes.
But you know, but if you look at those goals, it's all with the right foot, and he cuts in onto his right foot, and is taking those shots. And we scored that screamer from outside the box. That was a great goal. But it was all, if you watch that move, he's coming down the left wing, all with his right foot, fakes outside and cuts in on his right, and then puts it in. It was great, but it's all right foot. But the thing is that we have three guys who could potentially step in within a year, right? I'm not too sold on, I think Danielson's a good player, but I think he's more of an attacking center.
That's what I think. When he came in, they said he was a defensive mid, but I've always thought of him as more of a Cesc-like player.
Well, you know, maybe. I mean, and he's not tall at all either.
Neither was Flamini.
He's not very. Neither was Flamini. You're right. Flamini is such a hard tackler.
I think Danielson can.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think Danielson could possibly do it. He has the skill. Like, his touch is up there. It's good enough. And I felt bad that he was hurt so much this season because he's got so much. Like, he is a quality player. He's still the U19 captain for Brazil. You know that. The guy has talent, without a doubt. And I think, you know, he's at the point, like, you know how it is. When you're 18, 19, you know, I was told to bulk up. I was told to gain 10, 15 pounds at that point to have the muscle to deal with, you know, playing against D1 players, bigger, stronger, playing against men rather than boys. And you have to be able to make that jump, you know.
I agree.
And so I think if he, you know, gets a little more steel and is able to be a little bit harder in the challenge, that he could possibly do it. And then you also have Song and Diaby. So here's the thing. If they're not ready this year, Senna could be the guy to fill the gap.
He could be. He could be.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just think
so
I'd rather...
Who's next?
I'd rather leave Gilberto in and see.
Right. Then, you know, if we don't get him, I'm okay with what we have. I'll be okay with it. Yeah.
I mean... Like you said, we have players who can play there. We have Gilberto. Diaby and Danielson both could do it in some games. I mean, Gilberto wouldn't have to play every match.
I mean,
Song as well.
But I think you have to give Song a chance in that sense that he was in the team that served Africa Cup of Nations as a holding midfielder. And I was able to watch some of it online, and, you know, he looked good. And he is literally, I mean, in terms of the physical presence, He's got the other guys on stature, without a doubt. He is a beast. Like in terms of stature, I mean, he didn't look 100% rock solid when he was playing in the heart of the defense force at the end of the season. But
I thought he looked all right at the end of
he's
the
got, season. He looked all right.
He's a defender. And I mean,
Well, I guess we'll have to see how that develops. So who's our next transfer target to talk about?
Oh, Amari Bischoff from Werder Bremen.
Oh, right. And Amari,
yeah, exactly.
You know? Exactly. Bischoff, who supposedly had a Portugal under-21 international or something like that. That's what I read, but he's French-born, so I guess it's his Wenger connection. And supposedly he's homies with Wenger and has already had the conversations and is able to take his time and who knows what. So, I don't know.
I don't know what to say. I think he's coming to Arsenal in the next week. I've never heard anything about this player, except I know he's been injured for...
Well, but the thing is, if he does come, it's going to be on a free, right? He's released from his contract. So then, you know what? If he comes for free, I have no problem with it. Because if Wenger says he's good enough to play for our team, then, you know what? He didn't cost us a thing.
You can't really lose on a free transfer.
You know, you can't. You can't. People, if he doesn't, it doesn't cut it. You know,
story.
You sell him.
Because all of a sudden, came out of nowhere. Normally, it's the other way around. The press comes out and says, "So-and-so is linked with Arsenal," but he came out and said, "Yeah, I'm going to Arsenal. That's already been done." It was so weird, especially because no one's ever seen him play.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you've been injured over the past 2 years, and you never really played for Werder, but you're gonna come to Arsenal. All right.
That's such an upgrade for a player that hasn't even played at his normal, at his regular club.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe his mother's a banger. I don't really know.
Wouldn't that be something?
Like, who knows? I don't know.
pretty much all I've got on the transfer news for now.
Yeah, and then the Nasri deal should be done and dusted soon. We should even
win,
talk about it.
But it's done.
Make it happen.
It's all agreed. He's had his medical. I can verify that he's had his medical.
Well, that's good. Well, I say it from here on out. We do not talk until there are photos of him.
Entry, just
in
just
uniform.
Be patient. He'll come. He'll come.
I'm patient. Patience is a virtue.
Gotta be at this time of year.
Patience is a virtue. All right, so now that brings us to the issue of the captaincy and who's going to take over, because we already know that Gallus has been, you know, the armband has been taken, so we're going to have a new captain. Who do you really think? I mean,
did we hear this?
Maybe we didn't.
I didn't hear that.
Maybe I'm speculating. All right, well, who's going to be the captain? All right, I take that back then. Maybe we didn't hear that. There's just been so many rumors about it. I thought there was something about that. No, I mean, maybe I'm off.
I've never seen anything actually said it's been taken away from. I've heard rumors, but I've never heard anything.
Speculation that they would, right. Okay. Well, let's just say hypothetically, say he takes it away. Who becomes a new captain?
Well,
who do you think? I mean, I see. I only.
I'll tell you who I want. I'll tell you who I want. I want Colo Touré. He's been at Arsenal forever since 2002. He's loyal to the club. He said he wants to be at Arsenal for life. The players all respect Colo. All of them. And I think a defender is the best place for a captain. And I think right now he's our best center back.
Biased. You're a defender, aren't you?
I am a defender, but
I know that.
But I would have picked Bakary Sagna because I'm a right back.
Ooh. Yeah, but a right back's not a captain. I mean, well,
Bakary Sagna is because he's the man.
Okay, all right. He is a man, undeniably, but, I mean, does he even speak English? I mean, maybe some.
Yeah, I've heard him speak English. It's not very good, but I heard him speak
right.
it.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I agree with you wholeheartedly with the Touré thing. I think there's only two real candidates. It's Fabregas or Touré.
Right.
Straight up. There's no one else you can have. And the thing is, Fabregas is our captain for the future. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. Is it time to do it? He's a European champion now. You know, he's the best player on our team, arguably. He's the most influential player on our team. He is now to Arsenal what Steven Gerrard is to Liverpool. You know, he is the
heartbeat. Yes, we don't win without him.
He is the man. Is it time to give it to him? I mean, he just turned 21. He's now a European champion. Is it time? Here's the only thing. I say for this year, maybe for the next 2 years, give it to Colo. But here's the only problem I see. Like, we're moving him around at the end of the season. Like, is he still going to be our first-choice center back? That's the only thing I'm worried about.
This is my problem. The way I see it is this. If Gallas loses the captaincy, then that means Gallas no longer has to start. And I think Colo is preferred above Gallas. And if Gallas isn't the captain, I think Colo starts in front of him.
But dude, if Gallas isn't starting, what do you think is going to happen?
And I think he complains and he ends up leaving.
Right. We gotta. If we're not going to, I mean, I know if he loses the captainship, the only way he'll be okay is if he still starts every game.
Right. If you're the captain, you're going to be in all the time. But no, I just have a problem with, if we bring in a defender, say we bring in Raul Albiol,
okay,
or something like that, or Zapata or Zapata, you know.
Yeah.
Say we bring them in.
Right.
And you pair them with Gallas. Do we exclude a player that's been here playing solidly for us since 2002 in Colo Touré? Do we leave him out?
I don't think so.
Do you move
him to holding center mid?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be worth a try to see him there, I suppose, but I'd rather have him. I'd rather have Touré as the center back instead of Gallas. I have no love for Gallas.
I don't either.
I can't feel it. And so if Colo was left out of the first 11 because of Gallas, I would be upset.
Right. Now, you and I are completely in agreement on this issue. But the thing is, my only question is it going to be the fact that Colo's in the starting 11 as a center back? I want him to be. I think he's perfectly capable of it. I think he's one of the best in the league. But I think maybe they need a different type of partnership. You know, they could sell Gallus right now, and I wouldn't really be mad. If we
I don't even care what we sell them for. Sell them for $5 million. I'd take it.
Right. I think, although I do think our deal for him was very good. I mean, him plus cash for cash.
Yeah, it was actually plus $5 million.
Right.
But so. I don't know. I don't know if it was a good deal at the time. And I had my problems with it back then. But
so here's the thing. I think we can come to say that I would like to see Cole as the captain, but I also wanted to see him captaining our defense next year, and I'm not sure that he's going to be because of the way they've been shuffling it around. So hopefully that'll be the case.
Yeah, it's really up to if we sign a new defender or not. Because
well, here's the thing. Here's the way I feel about it. If he is not going to have him in the starting 11, or maybe not starting 11, but in the center of our defense, I think he may be ready to give it to Fabregas, which I can't really argue. You can't really argue against because he's the captain of the future.
My problem is I think he's too young.
No, it doesn't matter.
I think so. That's just my opinion.
At the maturity level, man. You're right. He made, 160 something appearances?
I know he's had a bunch of appearances, but do you want to put, like, the added pressure on him, or do you just want to let him play? I just want to let the guy play. Wait till he's 24, 25. I mean,
I'm sure here's the thing. He's such a stand-up guy that I know he doesn't care if he doesn't get it yet. He doesn't care, but I think he will gladly take it if they give it to him.
Oh, I think so.
And I think he'll do it well. I don't think the pressure is going to be anything to him.
Maybe not.
You know, I mean, he has enough pressure to him. I think he'll be fine, even though he's young, for it. I have absolutely no reservations about him coping with it. But, yes, I would say I'll agree with you that I would like to see Colo as our captain next year. I wanted to see it this year.
Yeah.
You know?
I did, too. But I really thought it was going to be Gilberto or Colo, and
right.
For some strange reason, it was Gallas. But, all right, let's go into what we think the starting – if you pick from the squad right now, who's your starting 11 if everyone's healthy next season?
If everyone's still here.
Everyone's still here, and you include Nasri.
I can't banish out of Iowa. Not yet.
No, not yet.
Not until next week.
Not to start him, but he's still on the squad.
Fuck, all right, well, damn it. You know what? Like, I understand he's technically still our player, but I'm going to try to develop a lineup without him in it. Because I don't want him there. Van Persie's fit right now, so I can include him. He's going to start at striker, you know, whether it's in the hole or up front. I say he's there. You want me to go my whole 11 and you'll go?
Shoot your whole 11 and I'll do mine.
Man, I should have pre-planned this, shouldn't I? All right, I'm going to go with Van Persie, and it's kind of a toss-up for the other striker because I don't think Walker. I mean, I don't think Walcott's ready to be our number one guy up there. I mean, I'll go with what I would have said before this all started. Adebayor and Van Persie up front. Going to the midfield, we'll see. I'm gonna be a little conservative in my picks here. I'm gonna go with Gilberto and Fabregas to start the season in the central midfield. Hopefully, Diaby or someone's gonna step in. On the wings, I guess. We'll go with Walcott on one side with Nasri on the other. And defense, I want to see same it was. I'm not really going to change much. Sanya, Torre, Gallas, and Clichy with Almunia and goal, which is another – for me is another subject that I feel, you know, maybe should be addressed at some point. But he's done well enough, so I'm not going to say anything otherwise. So I think I'm gonna take a very conservative approach there with my lineup.
What
do you think?
That's pretty amazing because I have the – exact same 11 written out. I have Adebayor and Van Persie. I have Walcott on the wing over Fleb, over Aboué. I think Walcott's really come into his own in the last part of last season.
No, he's got to be a main player this year.
He does. I'm taking Gilberto to start as the defensive midfielder, of course, Cesc as the attacking midfielder.
Right.
Nasri, I mean, I would take Rozicki over Nasri probably if all things are the same.
Right. I agree, but like you said, based on right now, that Rozicki isn't going to be fit until at earliest end of preseason.
Right, right. Well, then I would take Nasri, but
that's what I'm taking.
I would prefer to see Rozicki over him at this point, since I don't know exactly what Nasri can do. But
right. No, I agree, but the fact of the matter is that I know that Rozicki is not going to be fit for the first game.
Right, right.
You know?
And then I would have, obviously, across the defense, I'd have Clichy, Gallas, Torre, and Sanya. preferably bring in another defender to partner Torre, but we don't have that. And working with what we have now, I think Gallas and Torre are our best options without Munoz in goal.
Right.
And
I want to see more of Sabianski this year because I think he's got skill, but we got to see more of it to see if he's actually.
I think we'll get a lot of good looks at him in the preseason, and I know we're playing some crappy teams in Austria, but we're also playing. Who are we playing in the Emirates Cup? Real Madrid and Juventus? And I think Hamburg, maybe.
Yeah. I think that's right. Again.
Maybe we get to see Sergio, right? We'll get to see him against some quality competition there. So that should be good.
Just a little update on your should Adiar be sold. It's up to 15 yes, 14 no. And 14 killed.
I 14 people think Adebayor should be killed.
I actually added my input, and I made it the 14th right now because I hadn't voted yet. So
voted for yes. I don't think he should be killed off just yet, but
that is
a really close poll.
It's 15, 14, 14. That's about as neck and neck as you can hope. I mean, but like I said,
Really surprised that 14 people don't think he should be sold.
I don't know what they're thinking, but that's... I don't know. He's a team cancer. I don't like it.
I don't either.
But when it comes to the lineup, I think that that's what we're going to have to start with, and that's where we can go from there. I think that once Rosicky's fit, it's going to be – here's the thing. Not realistic. Do you see him starting Walcott in the beginning of the season?
I can't see Wenger doing it, but I'd rather him.
I would rather. But realistic now, let's be more realistic as to what the team is going to look like on the first – on opening day. On the first match,
he'll put Kleb in. If Kleb's still here.
Yeah, if Kleb's still here, he'll put Kleb in. But didn't we say Kleb? We said Kleb.
Okay, Walcott on the wing and Nasri on the
other. Oh, Nasri, right? But I don't think he's going to start Nasri. You think?
I think it depends on what he does in the preseason because Sanya had a good preseason and he got to start right away.
Oh, that's right, that's right. All right, so maybe we'll be Nasri and Kleb. You're right. Well, we'll see. And the other ones we can. But now, realistically, Adebayor's got to go. Who, if we were to put someone else to partner Van Persie, who's it going to be? Because let's get that out of the way right now.
You got to put Bentner.
Bentner, right? I mean, Vela is not. You know, Vela's not going to start.
No, not right away.
Vela's not going to start. I mean, Eduardo
has premiership experience. He's played in the Champions League.
And I think it's going to be him. And it's going to be too soon for Eduardo, right? Because, I mean, I'll be happy.
Eduardo says he may be back playing football by the end of July or early August, but that doesn't mean he's going to be ready for premiership matches.
Right. I'll be happy. Say we get rid of Adebayor. I'll be happy with an Eduardo-Van Persie partnership with Bentner coming in to kind of mix it up and give him size when they need to change it up. I'll be happy with that, personally.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a huge problem with it. I'd rather have Adebayor, but...
I don't.
Well, I'm saying before this.
Okay, right.
An Adebayor in last year's happy form.
Right.
I got some quick news here about some of the youth players. We have six youngsters that just signed pro deals.
Right.
Henry Lansbury, big English prospect in the midfield. She's got a new deal.
One of them.
Jay Thomas, Kyle Bartley, mm-hmm. Thomas Cruz, Reece Murphy and Sanchez Watt all have professional contracts now.
Lansbury is the only one I really know of all those. You know, that it's actually, from what I've heard, made any kind of real significant impact. But Bartley,
I've heard mixed reviews on. I've heard he's good, but I've also heard that it doesn't look like he would make it at Arsenal. But, I know a little bit about each of them. Reece Murphy's a decent player from what I've seen. I watch a lot of the reserve matches on Arsenal TV online, but
yeah.
Lansbury's the biggest prospect out of them. Arsene himself has said that he may play in the Carling Cup this year.
So if you're four of the reserve players that are coming up that are going to make the first team squad this year, who do you think is going to make an impact? From what I've seen, it's Nasser Berezai. Right?
Yeah.
Lansbury, potentially. Norbit, Jack Wilshere, and Harvard Norbit, you know, the central defender who's supposed to be the next man, hopefully.
Yeah, I think Norbit, I think Wenger's high on him.
Oh, but then also we have to, I mean, those are the guys coming from the Zurs. We have to remember we also have Ramsey coming straight into the first team squad. You got the number 16 jersey.
Right. I think he'll pretty much only be Carling Cup.
Yeah, no, entirely. But, you know, he's going to be, he's given the number 16, you know, like he's.
Right, right. He's expected to be in the, to be with the big boys right away.
Right. So, I mean, there's, as usual, there's tons of, I would feel that at least one of those guys is going to get some premiership time, not just Carling Cup. Wouldn't surprise me if one of those maybe better guys or someone is.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think. I think Jack Wilshere has all the potential in the world.
Yeah,
I think
I watched those.
I think
videos.
He's too young right now to be put out in the premiership. I wouldn't be surprised if Barisite gets to play a little. He looks to have the physical presence and also the skill to play
and the touch,
up at that level. So I wouldn't be surprised if Barisite gets to play. The others may need to take some time in the Carling Cup. I'd love to see Wilshere in the Carling Cup, see what he can do. But if we waited on him, it wouldn't kill me either.
Carling Cup is going to have an average age of like 12. It's gonna be great. And we're gonna beat Sunderland 4-0. I don't know, something along those lines. But yeah, it's gonna be young. But I like it. I like it. Well, I think that kind of takes care of everything we need to do today. Am I correct? Or?
Yeah, that's pretty much all we've got. Hope you guys enjoyed the second podcast. We'll get back to you with another one in hopefully a week, maybe a little longer. Depends on when we can get it all together. But for now, hope you enjoyed it. And if you have any comments or emails, you can email me, arsenal@arsenal.com, or put a comment on the blog or the forums, which are pretty fun. So, if you have any input, let us hear it, and that's all I've got. You have anything else?
No, that's about it. If there's anything else you guys want to hear about or any other comments you guys want to, or topics you want to discuss, hopefully we probably get another one of these out in a week, but hopefully there'll be some action. I mean, as long as there's something worth talking about, maybe a couple of transfers actually get finished, and we'll learn a lot, we'll know more of what's going on, how the premiership is shaping up, maybe we can give you a little more of a preview to the goings on and whatnot. Hopefully in a week's time we'll have something notable to report. So, until then.
All right. That's about all we've got. So, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast.
You better give me that money.